main page.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Persuasion and Influence call. Today is July 28th. I'm Kurt Mortensen. We'll spend the next 15 so minutes talking about content, things you can apply this week, then we'll open it up for questions so you can apply a tool every week. If you're brand new, welcome aboard. Are there any questions before we get started today? Anybody want to sing a song? Tell us a joke? We're doing all right? What I want to focus on for the next couple of weeks is understanding communication, understanding presentation skills, because that's a big part of influence. I want to focus this week on using the phone. In subsequent weeks, we'll talk about emails and face-to-face persuasion, but today I want to talk about using the phone. Because you already know there's a big difference between informing somebody and influencing somebody. There's a big difference between communicating and convincing, and there's a big difference between presenting and persuading. That's why I want to focus on using the phone. Now, the phone is pretty interesting. Now, when you're face-to-face, it's usually scheduled and planned. Well, most phone conversations are viewed as interruptions. You have interrupted them. And they can't see your face, they can't see your body language, they can't see your presence. It's harder to project that charisma. So everything about you is being judged through the phone. Now, for some of you that's good, for some of you that's maybe not so good. So the first impression over the phone is just as important as the face-to-face contact. It's amazing to see how many companies are going to the automated systems, there's no operators, and when you look at the top complaints that people have, when they talk to a big company like that, is they're not getting a live body. And the second biggest complaint is that they're getting the runaround by being transferred from person to person. So how do we persuade an influence through the phone? Let's talk about it. Now, we know when negotiation, for example, there's some pros and cons to using the phone. We notice that one of the pros is that there is less tension over the phone. If two people are in heavy negotiation, there's usually less tension, there's more breathing room, and there's not as many pressure tactics or maybe psychological tactics you'll see face-to-face. Now, again, the negative thing here is there's no nonverbals. It's much harder to connect and build rapport with somebody you can't see. And sometimes people tend to be a little more aggressive over the phone. If they can't see you, sometimes they'll jab at you a little bit more. And, again, no right or wrong here, just the phone is a different form of communication. And great persuaders are great communicators. The complaints, as we interview people after you've tried to persuade and influence them over the phone, is they resent the fact that you have to race to finish the script without interruption so they can't object. People see right through that. That's what they train old telemarketers to do, not to give you any breathing room, and they just keep going and going. They think you're rambling on and on and on and won't shut up or listen to their feelings or their questions. They get insulted by improper introductions or informal greetings, meaning, for the most part, we get too friendly too fast, that we pretend like we know the person, and they know, just like you know, that you don't know them. Could be your tone of voice. They feel pressured or rushed when they talk to you. Another complaint is that Another complaint is that you come across as unhelpful or disinterested. And the top one is they believe they are being treated as though they are stupid. They're seeing right through what you're trying to do. How can we fix these complaints? What is the best way to communicate and persuade over the phone? Well, as you look at these complaints and you look and monitor top persuaders, you don't want to speak too loudly. Part of that is sometimes we have the receiver, the phone, too close to our mouth. An inch is about the best. If you're using a headset, I'd adjust it. Leave a voicemail on your cell phone to see if it sounds good. So talking way too loud. People think that when you speak loud, it's enthusiasm. Not necessarily true. You need to learn to vary your rate of speech. That's important. And let them know you're listening. So when you give them some breathing room, let them know you're listening. We'll talk about listening today. When they say things like, uh-huh, I see. Vary your inflection. Don't sound monotone. And part of that, too, is studies do show that when you're smiling over the phone, when you're talking, that does transmit through the phone. Little preparation before the call is made. Know who you're talking to, what they do, what their company does. Internet's a powerful thing to be able to tell you everything you need to know. Focus on their needs and wants. How can you customize what you're doing to what they need? Always try to end on a positive note and try to be brief and to the point. I would rather take 3 minutes than 15 minutes to get to the point. Be sincere, show some empathy, but people do like people that are polite, know exactly why you're calling, and that comes down to you. What's in it for me? What is the main thing you can do for me? How are you going to help me save money? You can help me make money. Sometimes humor work well here, and people appreciate it when you do return their calls within 24 hours. Never ask in the beginning of your call, how are you today? Now, that might be sincere, but that's kind of a telemarketing red flag. If they've never talked to you, you don't know them, that's not a very good introduction. You probably want to introduce yourself with whatever it is you can do to help them in their business or their life. So let's talk a little bit about return calls. Should you ever leave a message? We'll talk about that in a second. But when you return their calls, something interesting happens. Rejection skyrockets. So you've talked to somebody about your product, your service, your idea. They're excited. They're going to do it. They're going to do a little more research. You've sent them to your website. It's a done deal. They want to call in 1 week. They asked you to call them back in 1 week. So you're counting down the days. You're all excited because it's a done deal. You call back. After 1 week, you say, hey, how you doing? Did you happen to visit my website and check out? And they say, no, thanks. I'm not interested. Goodbye. And your heart is broken. What happened? Let's talk about it. First of all, you have to understand that you were probably an interruption. Even though they asked you to call, they probably forgot about it. So you're an interruption, number one. And number two, you're blindsiding them. They're not thinking about this at all. And they probably didn't do what they said they were going to do, and they don't want to look stupid. Instead of looking stupid, they'll say, I'm not interested. The biggest piece here is you did not spend time to rebuild the emotion. Because as a great persuader, you took the time to take notes about their conversation. Because when you hung up with them, they were excited. You had tapped into their emotions. When you called back, there were no emotions. And so as a great persuader and influencer, what you need to do is go through your notes and rebuild the emotions as you talk to them. Rebuild the dream, the vision, what they want. And then, and only then, should you ask them about their interest or going to the website or additional information that they need. Very important. Now, if you do call them back and you get an answering machine, should you leave a message? I would say no. For the first couple of times, call them at different times a day. Try to get them live if you can. If you don't think you can get them live, go ahead and leave a message. Now, there are a variety of things that you can do to double the amount of people that will call you back. A big complaint is that no one can hear your message. You're rambling on because you have it memorized. You leave it 100 times a day. You don't even have to think about it. Hello, that's what it sounds like. This is the first time they've heard your voice. Make it sound good. Make it sound like you're interested. Make it sound like you have some passion. Make it sound like you care. So you have to be very careful with your voice and leaving the message and repeating the numbers two or three times so they don't have to go back. Because that might be a little too much for someone. They don't go back. I would also, when you listen to their message, take a mental note of their personality. And yes, for the most part, you can find out someone's personality through their message. This is Frank. You know the drill. Leave the message. You know that person's down. You know that person's kind of cut and dry, probably very analytical, to the point, maybe even a little assertive. You're not going to mess around. You're going to get right to the point. If you hear a voicemail, it's, hey, it's Sally. It's good to hear from you. I promise to call you back. Your call's important to me. There might be music in the background. They might want a little more energy, a little more animation, a little more about you than you would the other type of person. So you can customize it based on what you hear. Then you need to give them a reason to call you back. There's something known as the Zagarnik effect. This is from Bluma Zagarnik. He's out of Russia. He's a psychologist. And his research found that people remember unfinished things more than they do than things that are finished. Examples. If you watch a movie on TV and right before commercial, someone comes with a knife or something, a big scary part, and that's when they go to commercial because it's unfinished in your brain and you remember it more. Or you might be watching the news. You're getting ready to eat. You're going to turn the TV off and say, you know what, your drinking water's probably killing you. And you're all nervous and you're all tense and it's unfinished in your brain. So what does that mean to you? What can you leave on their voicemail that's unfinished, something they need, something they want, something that has value? Is it a report, a website that you found? I would rather have them call you to get that information than to leave the information on the answering machine. It could be a solution to their problem. It could be, and this is where you fill in the blank. This is where you fill in the blank. That you have found something to solve their challenges. It's unfinished. They need to call you to get the rest of the information. Doesn't guarantee they're going to call you back, but each piece that you can add increases the chances they're going to call you back. The way you do that, the way you rebuild the emotion, step by step. Just because they were emotional 2 weeks ago does not mean they're emotional now. You're giving them a reason to call back. That's the old Zagarnik effect that we've talked about. That's what happens when you return calls. Next thing we need to understand is understanding the call screeners. Now, trying to bully a call screener or get through or pretend who you're not doesn't go very far. The people that pretended to know me got through a screener. There was no trust, there was no likability, and there was no way I was going to do business with that person. I would treat the screener like a human being with great respect, practice the law of connectivity with that person, manage your expectations with them, and the chances will increase that you get through. But the interesting thing is that when you call, 64% of the time you got a hold of the wrong person. So make sure you have the right name or the right department that you need to talk to. 64% of the time you're talking to the wrong person, you're trying to persuade the wrong person, and that is a complete waste of time. The biggest thing I can help you with over the phone is listening. Not hearing, but listening with your ears, listening with your heart. Now, over the phone, you can't use your eyes much, but if you can really listen to their tone of voice and imagine their facial expressions, it'll go a long way in your ability to adapt to that person, to connect with that person. Because the big challenge with listening is no one's ever really had the training. You're so concerned about what to say next. That's why you're sitting there with a pad of paper taking notes. If you have something you want to say or an idea, write it down so it doesn't, freak out your brain and just overwhelm you that you have to butt in and tell them it. Or you're spending all this time thinking about a response and not truly listening. You're not concentrating or playing on the internet. You're playing a game on the computer. You're jumping to conclusions that they're not interested. You're jumping to conclusions with what they exactly need. Of course, the worst thing we notice is that you prejudge. They're not the type. They're not interested. The moment you do that, you lose. Because it will suck the life out of your presentation. It will suck the life out of your voice, and you're not going to be able to persuade them anyway. Now, when you prejudge, you might be right half the time. But I tell you what, everybody you talk to over the phone can use your product or service or know somebody that can. But when you prejudge, it closes the doors to all influence and your ability to get referrals or to persuade that person. So if you truly want to listen, and this is one of the things where people think they're doing okay, and they're not. Listening is one of the top-rated skills where people think they're doing okay, but nobody agrees with them. We all have room to improve in the world of listening. So what can we do? One of the main things is they're the most important person in the world. Give them undivided attention. You might, if you're face-to-face, you use eye contact. What you want to do with your vision and your eyes in this scenario, again, is imagine talking to that person, seeing their face, and a lot of times their subconscious will put an expression to that face. Show sincere interest. Keep the conversation going with questions. I love to use silence. So if you ask a question, they answer it, stay silent. And they'll keep answering it and keep answering it. And remember, when you truly know how to listen, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. And always, always, always pause before you're replying. Pause before you're replying. What that does is it shows that you're interested, that you're listening, that you're thinking about it, that you're just not regurgitating another answer that's in the back of your brain or solving the same old objection. Pause before replying. So what do I want you to work on? I want you to record yourself. Call from a phone and leave yourself a message. I know it might be a little painful, but you need to know how you sound. Have somebody else listen to it. Somebody you trust. Record yourself. What do you really sound like? Because you're probably going faster or slower than you actually think you are. Start customizing your messages this week. Try to listen to their voice and I'll pick up on a few things that you can customize your message. And adapt your message to the situation. Customize it and adapt it. Every message should be a little bit different. Every message should sound like it's the only time you've ever left it. Because if you start to sound robotic, that you've left it 100 times, that you don't care, that you're speeding through it just to get it done, the amount of people who call you back will drop dramatically. That's the power of the phone, because when you can master communicating and convincing and influencing over the phone, what happens is you become a power persuader. If you can just double, even triple the amount of people that will call you back by implementing these techniques, it'll make a big difference in your life and your income and your success. So over the next couple of weeks, what I want to focus on is the difference between email persuasion and the difference between presentation, or group influence, because they are different. The more you can adapt, the more successful you're going to be. Any questions about what we talked about today?
Well, as far as email, is just the power of words there?
Yeah, I mean, you have the emails a little bit different. The big thing you have there is your words. You really don't have that much more. And so we'll go over, you know, verbal packaging and a few other things. You know, being timely, there's a few other things. But the biggest thing you have with email is the power of words, because every word you use will attract or repel the people that you're talking to.
What is verbal packaging?
Verbal packaging is the word choice that you use. Like we'll talk about, you never say contract, you say agreement. You never say could, you say can. So there's a series of words that you should use and a series of words you should not use. So verbal packaging is the word choice, every word you use.
Do you have a, you can pause in silence there too?
Sorry, one more time?
I mean, when you're verbal packaging, is there a silence too? You know, like wait until what? Ask questions and wait.
Like using pauses? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Pauses are important. You know, when you respond to your emails, all that's important. But when you're talking to somebody face to face, pauses are powerful. Silence is very powerful.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Any other questions? Comments? Any things you're running into out there that I can help you with?
that law of dissonance. I don't quite understand.
Did you listen to the audio?
Yes, I listened to the audio.
Well, that is one of the hardest, most complex laws to understand, first of all. And it's human nature. It's not something I can explain in 2 minutes, but basically is when you do something against your beliefs, you feel dissonance and you can't live with it. And when your prospects feel that way, they're very difficult to persuade sometimes. For example, if somebody feels they're a charitable person and that's their belief, and they're watching late night TV and they see an infomercial about helping out with the children in South America that $2 a day will make their life better, what's happening is that rubber band stretches to where they feel awkward and uncomfortable because they're a charitable person, but they're not calling up. And people can't live with that. And so what dissonance is, they have these knee-jerk reactions. So if you're watching this TV and you felt you should donate, what are some knee-jerk reactions that some people could have to make it okay that they don't donate? Mm-hmm.
You find excuses?
Yeah, you find excuses. Well, I give to this charity and they donate there, or I've heard some of these charities are scams, or, I'll donate later, or you quickly change the channel, or you rationalize why you don't do it. So, in the rudimentary, when you find excuses why you don't do the things you're supposed to be doing.
So how do
when
you...
When people get... What's that?
No, go ahead.
This is a kind of a 10-week course we need to take on this, but the main thing that you need to understand with dissonance is when people are in denial. For example, if a home's going into foreclosure, first of all, the human brain can't be wrong. For most people, when their home's going into foreclosure, it's not their fault. Even though it is, they are going to blame somebody else, right? Who are they going to blame?
No. whoever they bought the loan for,
it could be the bank.
Bank,
right? It could be that SOB of a boss that fired them. It could be the government, the president. They're going to find someone else because it's very difficult for people to say, "Yeah, I blew it." The human brain needs to be right, and they'll find reasons why that's okay. So one of the main things dissonance understand is that when someone's in denial, and you tell them that they're wrong, that causes a lot of dissonance, and usually they'll attack you, not necessarily physically, but you won't connect to that person, you won't be able to persuade that person. So the key thing with the dissonance and denial is that you have to help them discover, through questions, that it's their fault. Because if you tell them it's their fault, they'll rebel against you. But if you help them discover that it's their fault and you have the solution, they're much easier to persuade.
What questions would you suggest?
In what type of situation?
like the foreclosure situation there.
You always ask the easiest questions first. And what you would want to do is say, well, tell me how you got in this situation. Okay, well, then what happened? Well, how long has it been since there's been a payment made? And what did you expect to happen? And just a series of questions that you can ask that lead them to the point where they can discover it. Top persuaders ask 3 times more questions than the average persuader. And if you can just get in and help them realize that you're there, that if they don't make any changes, something negative is going to happen and you have the solution to fix it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Good question. Any other questions? Main thing, it should sound like that's the first voicemail you've ever left for that person. Not like you're some rookie, but it's customized to them, it's adapted to them, it doesn't sound rushed. That is a huge complaint over the phone, because a lot of your persuading and influencing will be over the phone, and they can't see your face. And it's easier to hang up on somebody over the phone than it is to slam the door on their face. But it is one of the vehicles you need to learn to use when you persuade and influence. So practice that this week. Let me open one more time. Are there any questions about what we talked about today or things you're running into? All right. Everyone have a great week. Next week we're going to focus more on the different forms of communications, for example, via email or in front of a group, and that way you can get those into your influence toolbox. So everyone have it. Go out there, persuade with power, and go make it happen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.